I'm Rose Scott. This is A Closer Look.
I'm Jim Burris, and today for Dennis O'Hare, a warning to listeners, this next segment may not be appropriate for all audiences. It deals with the sexual exploitation of minors. Visa, MasterCard, and American Express have all disallowed their credit cards to be used for Backpage.com adult ads. Well, now Backpage.com and other sites have come under fire because authorities and anti-trafficking advocates say minors are often trafficked through online ads posted on those sites.
Well, Jim, will these actions by the credit card companies help to combat sex trafficking? Joining A Closer Look is Alex Trudeau. He's the executive director of the Atlanta-based Youth Spark, the organization that works to prevent sex trafficking of minors. Alex, as always, we appreciate you coming in. Thanks for coming to time.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Why is Visa and MasterCard pulling their credit card as payment options on Backpage.com so important now?
It's important because every U.S. company, every international company should say to themselves, to their shareholders, that they're just not going to be involved in this kind of activity. They just won't be affiliated with it whatsoever. So it's great that these major companies finally came to that realization.
Now, a lot of credit is being given to a Cook County sheriff in Illinois, Sheriff Tom Dart, who apparently wrote to both Visa and MasterCard about concerns that the ads were fueling the sex trade, including the trafficking of minors. But prior to this, had Youth Spark or other advocacy groups called on credit card companies to pull these payment options?
I know, it feels like we've been doing this for generations now. Yes, we've
he
been doing this for
years. He did it with the letter. Apparently.
Yeah, and we're big fans of what Sheriff Dart did, and in fact, we were able to collaborate with Sheriff Dart and help them with some of the research that helped fill out the content for their letter to make the appeal to Visa and MasterCard.
What research did you all give him to use?
We simply documenting the scope of the problem, the magnitude of the problem, because I think people have a hard time translating one website and what that actually looks like in terms of the number of young people affected by that negatively.
Now, in response, Backpage.com has reportedly announced it will stop charging users to post ads in its adult section, at least for now, but they're not coming down. So what is your response to that?
Well, we expected this. I mean, Backpage was recently sold to a Dutch company. It's still a U.S.-based operation, and so they're trying to preserve their asset value, which really boils down to the number of prospective buyers who are going there looking for people to purchase for sex, and it boils down to the number of people who are posting these ads. So in order to preserve that while they find a new revenue model, we expected them to make the ads for free. And so the impact has been that the number of ads has gone up. We've seen it go up by about 10 to 20% just yesterday alone.
Wow.
But we're playing the long game here. And the long game is that no company should affiliate with activity that is involved with the prostitution of young children.
And A Closer Look did reach out to Backpage.com. Those calls were not returned. Now, Alex, some argue it's unfair to blame sites like Backpage.com for the sexual exploitation of minors because it's, after all, just a website.
They can think that all they want, but when you've got a kid coming in who's been sexually exploited, who's been prostituted, and they tell you that how they got into it was they were posted on Backpage, it's hard to have any sympathy for a company like that.
Do you think that that child would still be exploited if Backpage.com was not available?
I think it's distinctly possible, and we know that there's other websites and other messaging services that are active in marketing young people for sex. So this is really just one website of many that need to, you know, see the light on this issue.
You know, Alex, and we've covered WABE and public broadcast in Atlanta. We've covered this issue for many, many years now, and language and data is always so important. People want to have concrete data. Can you sort of take us through so the listener, someone listening that may not fully understand how you all have been able to not just reveal, but grab numbers about what happens when someone goes online looking to purchase sex from a minor. You all have that data that shows that this is part of the industry.
We do, and it's pretty staggering, actually. So, for example, there were 700 ads on Backpage in the Atlanta section for escorts just yesterday alone. When we looked at the age distribution of those ads, half of them were ages 23 and younger, and you can only say that you're 18 and above. So this is, you know, over half of those ads are on the young end of the age spectrum, and we know that when we have victims who come into our system of care, they're routinely indicating that they post their age as 21, 22, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, you know, this is where the young victims are. This is where the children end up hiding.
And sometimes there are actually pictures where the minor might be made to look older. Is that true as well?
Oh, indeed. And we actually just had one of the girls that we serve. We found her picture on Backpage just a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's it's unfortunately common.
How old was she?
She's under age 18.
Wow. We're speaking with Alex Trudeau. He is the new executive director, I can still say that a little bit, for Youth Spark. It's an Atlanta-based organization that looks to prevent child exploitation. The internet, it's a major channel for sex trafficking. Do you know if authorities are making any strides, Alex, in slowing down the activity?
I think Georgia authorities are doing an outstanding job of bringing up their approaches to law enforcement in order to really tackle the demand side of it. That's what we're going after, is how many buyers are arrested when they're attempting to purchase a young person for sex. Because in Georgia, you know, it's not like there's an honest conversation that happens when that buyer gets connected with a young person and you know, what is he going to do, check for her ID? I mean, that's just ridiculous. What we know ends up happening is that very often, in fact, at least one in 10 young people sold for sex is under the age of 18. And so these honest conversations don't happen. And so he ends up paying for sex with an adolescent, whether he knows that or not. And in Georgia, that's not a defense. So you're still going away to prison for a really long time when that happens. So law enforcement are really catching up to this and doing some great online sting work.
What type of penalties do people face if they're in that situation?
I can say, you know, you're going to have to get real comfortable in jail if you get caught trying to purchase a child for sex.
Because it's now under a trafficking statute, right? It's not just, and I hate using that term, the John anymore. It's you are convicted under a trafficking statute, correct?
Correct. So we have some of the best laws in the nation as far as being able to prosecute buyers of young people for sex.
As Rose mentioned, you just stepped into the role of executive director of Youth Spark, and you have an extensive research and data background, some would say a numbers person. Will you look at the data and look at the numbers to change or revamp the group's overall approach to what you all do?
Yeah, so I think the initial battle in this field was really convincing people that it was even happening. It's so difficult to imagine that anyone would purchase a child for sex. And we know now that that happens. We have over 1,000 confirmed victims statewide in Georgia since we began our system of care in 2009. We have more than one new victim identified every day in Georgia. And the numbers seem to keep growing as our law enforcement do a better job of identifying victims in the field and others, and social workers and DFACs as well. So the approach that we're taking now is to say, let's use our numbers to hold ourselves accountable. Are we bringing the numbers down? And really the only way to do that is to address the demand side of the equation, which is the buyers. We've got to be aggressive with law enforcement and buyers.
How do you do that, though, Alex? Now, that's probably a question that all advocates have been trying to, and law enforcement have been trying to deal with for a long time.
Well, the cops are actually great at this. The cops are really great at bringing these buyers in. What they need is they need to know that the public stands behind them. They support the allocation of resources in law enforcement to be directed to this issue, because there's a lot of things that our police officers are required to work on, they're asked to work on. They need to know this is a priority for Georgia citizens.
And you mentioned police, but that's only part of the equation. After the police are involved, it goes through the judicial system. Do you think that Georgia's judicial system is up to par with police on this issue?
I think there's always opportunities for improvement, but I would say that we're getting better each day, and most judges have absolutely no compassion whatsoever, and juries don't have any compassion for buyers of children anyway.
You said you want to focus on the demand side, but also there is the care that's needed for the victims and for those that are rescued. There was a time when I think there was a number that Georgia had less than 50, what they call 50 beds for children. And you talk about hundreds of children who were reportedly being trafficked in a month. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing more resources for these victims, though, for the minors?
We're working toward that, and all Georgia voters are going to get the opportunity to vote on a resolution that is going to authorize additional funding, non-tax dollars, but new funding for victims of CSEC, exploitation.
Which leads me to my final question, because are advocates gearing up for the next legislative session? If so, is that going to be one of the main issues then?
Well, I think that for the next legislative session, what we're really going to be focusing on is educating Georgia voters on how important this statewide vote is going to be. And we're extremely confident that voters are going to see that this is an obvious and necessary measure to address the victimization of youth who've been prostituted.
And the language real quickly in that measure deals with the what they call a fee, or some would call a fine, or others. The strip clubs, the adult clubs don't like to use the word fine, but it's been very tit for tat here. So sort of give me the exact language that voters will see if you can.
Ooh, I don't know the exact language offhand, but I can tell you this. The connection that people often fail to make and why this is so important is that strip clubs are one of the number one ways that we teach men that it's okay to use their money to pay for another person's body. And I think it's about time that we acknowledge that that is one of the major drivers of child sex trafficking in Georgia.
And so this measure voters would vote whether or not they want to add a fee to the adult establishments.
That's correct.
All right. Alex Trudeau is the executive director of Youth Spark. We've been talking about credit card companies that are now pulling their payment options for websites like Backpage.com. And again, we did reach out to Backpage.com for their side of this. Our calls were not returned by airtime. Alex, we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, good to talk to you.